Hey, Merce, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well.
Speaking.
What's going to be like for you this week to kind of face, I guess it's not decided if he'll play yet, but to face Fred Keller? Is it going to be kind of strange, or what will it be like for you?
Oh, that was going to be exciting. This weekend, Fred, we were talking a little bit, and I asked him if he was going to play, and I didn't get a response back, so I kind of figured it was a yeah. So it's going to be exciting. You know, a guy who pretty much molded me into the player I am today, just all around, where I'm blocking, able to run and see different things, throw the ball where I can catch out of the backfield, different routes that he's showing me how to run. It's going to be a real emotional thing, obviously, just because of, you know, I think there's about 10 of the 12 of us that Fred kind of raised into the league. So it's going to be real emotional. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. But at the same time, I'm not really going against him. I'm going against Randy Merriweather, O.J. Mayo, Vince Wilfork, those guys who are playing at a high level right now, definitely against the run. So it's going to be a fun, exciting game. And, you know, a guy that I played, I came into college with on their team, Matt Slater, so I might see him on special teams.
Maurice, this is Ian Rappaport, Boston Herald. Fred talked about how you guys talked about in the past how you guys coexisted in the same backfield, how, you know, there wasn't competition or the, you know, that some people expected. Were you surprised that he kind of welcomed you in when you were drafted in, what was it, 06 or whenever?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because you hear all these stories about how older players or veteran players would, you know, kind of give you the cold shoulder, obviously, because, you know, they brought you in to take their spot. But it was totally different when I got here. Fred came to me with open arms, and he just was like, you know, I'm willing to teach you if you're willing to learn and listen. And I was like, to hear one of the best players at the position at the time, or now still, Fred, you know, especially coming in, a guy to say something like that was just, you know, kind of turned our relationship into what it was, into what it is now. And it was more off the field than on the field, you know, just showing me the ropes around Jacksonville, or just how, you know, obviously coming from L.A. with no money to, you know, Jacksonville having a little bit of money, and how to manage my money and who to talk to, and you know, talk about just a lot of different things. When I didn't have someone to cook for me at home, my parents were out here to come to his house and eat and hang out with his family. Those things definitely just opened my eyes to just the man. You know, a lot of people don't know Fred because he's real quiet, but, you know, that he just opened up, and we talked about everything from football to life to money to school, going back to school and graduating, to, you know, pretty much everything. And so he definitely played a big impact in my life.
Maurice, how did he tell you that he was leaving Jacksonville? What was your reaction?
I was in California at the time, and I got a text message from him, and he was just like, you know, I think they're going to release me, man. It's been a pleasure playing with you. You know, I was in awe, just because, you know, I thought, obviously, you know, the best thing about Fred was he understood the business side of it. You know, I was coming into getting a new contract, and he had a big money deal, so the ownership had to make a decision. But, you know, he came to me with the same thing, like, you know, I wish you the best of luck. You know, if you ever need anything, call me. There's no hard feelings. We actually trained together in the off season, so that was fun. Just going out training with them, working with them, competing with them out there, and. You know, we still talk to today. So when he told me that, I was hurt, you know, obviously, because that's a guy that brought me into this league. But he explained it to me, and kind of how I knew it was, it's a business decision. It was nothing. We couldn't do anything about it. We just had to continue to learn and grow, just, you know, obviously together but apart, you know. So he's in Boston while I'm down here. We also talk. We do a lot of things, you know. This offseason we'll get together again and hang out and work out, so.
Maurice, you said you guys trained together. You didn't mean this past summer, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this past summer we trained together.
Where'd you guys train?
South Florida. Bomarito Performance. to South Florida.
How often, Maurice, would you guys talk this year, kind of just throughout the season?
We talked maybe like every couple weeks. You know, obviously in the beginning of the year we were talking a lot because he was getting adjusted. And, you know, we were just talking, and he had his injury, and we talked a little bit during that time because I knew it was a hard time. But, you know, we just talked about life and maybe doing some stuff off the field later on. You know, that's just kind of how our relationship is. Not always about football. It's about other things. So I think that's what a lot of people, you know, a lot of players in the league, I think they have relationships outside of football. So we play together, what makes it stronger, but the majority of the time we talk, it's not about football. It's about life. How's your family? You know, he knew I just had a son, so he was just like, "How's your son doing?" I was asking how his wife and how his son's doing that he just had, and his two boys already, and you know, and it's just little stuff like that makes our relationship more personable than, or just much more than football. You know, so it just, like I said, it's going to be an emotional time going back up there, meeting a guy or seeing a guy that you've been playing with and growing up and watching. And, you know, see him wearing a different color, wearing his old 21. So,
Maurice, do you think the fantasy football world has embraced you again after kind of screwing them over and taking a knee at the one?
I hope so. You know, like I said, it was a little tough for me at that week. It was one of those weeks I needed to win to make the playoffs, and I found some way how to make it into the playoffs. And so right now I'm in the championship round and, you know, just playing well. So hopefully people have embraced and just, you know, understand it was a business decision.
You're worried that business play ball, fantasy football? Is that true?
Huh?
Is it true that you really do play fantasy than you own yourself?
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't, I would have to throw games, and I wouldn't be right.
Yeah. So, who do you play?
I just play with a bunch of guys in either in the front office or in the equipment room. Just like kind of a Jaguars deal, just for bragging rights.
Hey, Maurice, this is kind of a general question, but obviously, you know, if you guys get in the playoffs, you're going to have to go on the road, and I know you've been in that situation before. You know, when you guys went in Pittsburgh and everything else. And can you talk about how tough it is to win on the road this time of year, not only, you know, in the regular season, but also in the playoffs, and what some of the challenges that you guys were able to overcome in the past were?
Well, the main thing is the crowd noise, the atmosphere, the cameras, different things like that. That's what makes it, you know, the playoffs different than everything else. The speed of the game changes. But more than anything, like I said, it's the crowd noise. The crowd's always into it because it's their team. They're at home. It's a playoff game for them. You have, you know, you're on national television. You're the only game playing. You have every major market, media, whatever you want to call it, camera there. So it's a big difference. And, you know, one way that we were able to adjust with it, we just kind of kept that mentality as if, you know, it's another game, we got to go out there and play. And so it's been a little tough here for us going on the road just because, you know, we just haven't performed well. But at the same time, I think guys are starting to understand how, you know, how we're able to, if we do execute our game plan and we do go out there and play well, we have a great opportunity and a great shot at winning games.
Whereas this year we are getting more carries, more of a load. How has your body responded to that? And in the off season, I guess did you do anything differently or sort of enhanced, knowing that you probably be getting more carries and be getting beat up a little more?
Well, one thing that when Fred texted me when he was getting released, he told me, he said, "Listen, just promise me one thing that you won't change anything you're doing with your training." Because I did that when I was young, thinking that I had to do more and try to excel and do all these things. And, you know, you're already training your body to start and take the pounding already from what you're doing. So that was one thing. That's kind of why we do train together, because we do different things. If we're running hills or if we're pulling sleds or whatever we're doing it, you know, as if you're the starter. So I just kind of kept the same routine, and really just I did a little extra stuff, like a lot of extra stretching, just so I can stay loose. And pretty much I got a routine, you know, watching Fred do his routine, watching Greg Jones do his, and I kind of took their routine in a way and turned, made my own one where I sit in the cold tub every day. I bought a hyperbaric chamber that I sleep in. Also, I get treatment every day. Either I do abs Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Just little things like that. I go to the chiropractor on Mondays and Fridays. So I do a lot of, and I get massages on Mondays and Fridays. So I do a lot of different things that I think a lot of players do. I just, you know, you just want to stick what helps you recover throughout the week and get your body to close to 100% as you can on Sundays.
Did you see this as a big year for you in that regard, as far as, you know, being the guy back there finally?
Did I see it as what?
Like a big year for you, like a big opportunity, or you know, like a big type of, you know, I don't know the word that you want to use, but just kind of a opportunity, I guess.
I think it was it's a great opportunity, you know, and a blessing to be able to start in this league, just because how many, because all the other great running backs are on teams, or, you know, I think I was blessed to be able to learn from one of the best. You know, my whole thought coming in really was to do whatever I can to help the team win. I mean, that's all you can do. If it's running the ball 100 times, or if it's blocking 100 times, or if it's catching 100 times, whatever it was, you know, to do what you can to help the team win. So I think, like I said, coming here and starting here and seeing how it was done with Fred and Marcus Stroud and Mike Peterson and John Henderson and Donovan Darris, they just performed. They didn't worry about what everybody was saying. They just came out and played. And, you know, and I think that's what a leader is. They don't really talk. They just go out and play. And so coming in, I just wanted to do whatever I could to help the team win. And so that has been my mentality ever since.
Any other questions, guys? All right, Maurice, thank you very much.
Thanks, Maurice.
No problem. Tell all those guys I said hello, and tell Matt Slater I said hey, if you could, for me.
Yeah, definitely will.
Will do, man.
I appreciate it.